1972, Joey Gallo killed in Little Italy during dinner at Umberto's Clam House.
An hour from now, be it tonight, or 100 years from now, I'm in jail. I mean, I was
They get there by violence, and often as not, they leave by violence.
Between $3 and $5 million in cash and valuables was taken from the Lufthansa cargo terminal out at Kennedy Airport.
I can give you guys $500,000 a year without a problem.
New York City is a war zone for mobsters and their targets.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Black Hands, an organized crime history podcast. I'm your host, Bliss Grieve, and today on episode 28, we're going to be talking about Carmen Persico, one of the most infamous bosses in New York mob history. Not only did Persico have at least some level of involvement in each of the three Colombo family wars, but he also maintained control of the family for nearly 50 years, most of which he spent in prison. But without further ado, let's get right into the episode. Carmen Persico was born on August 8, 1933 in Brooklyn, New York to Carmen John Persico Sr. and Assunta Plantamora, with his father working as a legal stenographer for several law firms in Manhattan. Carmen also had two brothers named Theodore and Alphonse Persico, and the family would live in the Park Slope and Red Hook sections of Brooklyn during Carmen's childhood. And unlike many of his mafia counterparts, Persico didn't grow up in the mafia, but instead grew up on the streets forming his own gangs and getting into fights. After getting a childhood reputation as a bully, Persico dropped out of school at 16, preferring to spend his days on the streets as opposed to inside a classroom. And around that same time, he became the leader of a street gang known as the Garfield Boys, which was based in Brooklyn's Red Hook District and roamed the streets of South Brooklyn from the early 20th century up until the 1970s. By the next year, in 1951, he would be accused of fatally beating a rival gang member in Prospect Park, although the charges would be eventually dropped. And it was really this incident that caught the eye of higher-ups in the Five Families, and not long after the murder, Persico was recruited into the Profaci crime family by a longtime capo named Frank Abbatamarco. Born in 1899, Abbatamarco became a high-level earner for the Profaci family and began operating several illegal gambling operations during the 1930s, including a lucrative lottery in South Brooklyn. By the 1940s, he was elevated to the rank of capo and ran a crew that specialized in racketeering and burglary. And just like that, at the age of 17, Persico was a Profaci family associate and in a crew working under Abbatamarco that included all three Gallo brothers, Joe, Larry, and Albert, as well as his own son, Anthony Abbatamarco. Then on March 25th, 1952, Abbatamarco, his son, Joe Gallo, Larry Gallo, and an 18-year-old Carmen Persico were arrested by the Special Racket Squad of the Brooklyn District Attorney's Office for racketeering-related charges, and the operation was alleged to have earned them $2.5 million. Frank and his son were charged with conspiracy to operate a lottery and both pleaded guilty, while seven of the other accused did not. Persico got a start in bookmaking and loan sharking, then moved into burglaries and hijackings, and during the 1950s he was arrested over 12 times, but spent only a few days in jail. However, it was in 1957 that Persico was launched into the major leagues of the Mafia, as Persico allegedly participated in the murder of Albert Anastasia, the former leader of Murder, Inc., and the boss of what was then the Anastasia crime family. Anastasia's underboss, Carlo Gambino, wanted to control the family and conspired with his allies, Genovese family boss Vito Genovese and Profaci family boss Joe Profaci, to kill Anastasia, so Profaci allegedly gave the job to Persico and the Gallo brothers. Then on October 25th, 1957, Albert Anastasia entered the barbershop of the Park Sheraton Hotel in Midtown Manhattan. And as he relaxed in the barber chair, two men with scarves covering their faces rushed in, shoved the barber out of the way, and fired at Anastasia. After the first volley of bullets, Anastasia allegedly lunged at his killers. However, the stunned Anastasia actually attacked the gunman's reflections in the wall mirror of the barbershop, and the gunman continued firing at Anastasia, finally killing him. And it's likely that this is what earned Persico his button in the Profaci family, as it's believed that he was made shortly after this incident in his early 20s. Also, with the murder of such an important figure under his belt, assuming he was the killer, Carmen Persico became a respected figure in the Mafia and quickly began climbing the ranks of power. Though the Profaci family had taken Persico under their wing, by the late 1950s, Persico and the Gallos were becoming increasingly dissatisfied with Joe Profaci's leadership because he demanded high tribute payments from family members and was viewed as a dictator. And if that wasn't bad enough, the First Colombo War started on November 4th, 1959, when Profaci's gunman murdered Frank Abbatamarco on a Brooklyn street because he had stopped paying tribute to Profaci. It's speculated that Carlo Gambino and Lucchese family boss Tommy Lucchese were encouraging the Gallos to challenge Profaci after he took Frank Abbatamarco's lucrative rackets away from the Gallos, starting the warfare. And on February 27th, 1961, the Gallo brothers, led by Joe Gallo, kidnapped four of Joe Profaci's top men, including his underboss Joseph Magliaccio, his brother Frank Profaci, as well as a capo named Salvatore Musaccia, and a soldier named John Simone. While Profaci himself eluded capture and flew to sanctuary in Florida. While holding the hostages, Larry and Albert Gallo sent Joe Gallo to California, where Profati's consigliere Charles Lo Cicero negotiated with the Gallos, and all the hostages were released peacefully. But Profati had no intention of honoring the peace agreement negotiated by Joe Gallo and Charles Lo Cicero, and on August 20, 1961, Joe Profati ordered the murder of Gallo crew members Joseph Gioeli and Larry Gallo, and shortly after, gunmen allegedly murdered Gioeli after inviting him to go deep-sea fishing. Following the hit, Joe Profati went to Carmen Persico with a deal and offered him lucrative rackets in exchange for switching sides against the Gallos. So on the 9th, Persico had been scheduled to meet the Gallos at the Sahara Lounge in the East Flatbush neighborhood of Brooklyn. He and another mobster named Salvatore D'Ambrosio ambushed and attempted to strangle Larry Gallo, only being stopped when a policeman intervened. Afterwards, the Gallos began calling Persico the Snake, a nickname he hated, and the war continued on, resulting in 9 murders and 3 disappearances. Carmen was indicted later that year for the attempted murder of Larry Gallo, but the charges were dropped when Gallo refused to testify. However, a change was coming for the Profati family, one which would see Persico get a promotion, and on June 6, 1962, Joe Profati died of cancer and his underboss, Joseph Magliaccio, became the new boss of the family, but the war with the Gallo faction continued. During Magliaccio's reign, the Gallo brothers attempted to retaliate against Carmen Persico, and in early 1963, Persico survived a car bombing, and his enforcer Hugh McIntosh was shot in the groin as he attempted to kill Larry Gallo. Despite these failed attempts, on May 19, 1963, Gallo gunmen ambushed Persico in the Gowanus section of Brooklyn. A panel truck pulled along Persico's car, and 2 men shot him in the face, hand, and shoulder, with Persico allegedly spitting out the bullet that entered his face. Then, soon after this attempt on his life, Carmen was imprisoned on extortion charges, and by the fall of 1963, with Joey Gallo imprisoned as well, the shooting war had ended with Joseph Magliaccio as the winner. But that wasn't all 1963 had in store for the 5 families, and in the same year, Joseph Bonanno, head of the Bonanno crime family, began making plans to assassinate several rivals of his on the commission, including bosses Tommy Lucchese, Carlo Gambino, and Stefano Magadino. So Bonanno sought Magliaccio's support, and he readily agreed. Not only was he bitter from being denied a seat on the commission, but Bonanno and Profaci had been close allies for over 30 years prior to Profaci's death. Bonanno's audacious goal was to take over the commission and make Magliaccio his right-hand man, and gave Magliaccio the task of killing Tommy Lucchese and Gambino, so he gave the contract to one of his top enforcers, Joseph Colombo. However, the opportunistic Colombo revealed the plots to his very targets. The other bosses quickly realized that Magliaccio couldn't have planned the takeover himself, so knowing how close Bonanno was with Magliaccio as well as their close ties through marriages, so the commission summoned both Bonanno and Magliaccio to explain themselves. Fearing for his life, Bonanno fled to Montreal, leaving Magliaccio to deal with the commission by himself. Badly shaken and in poor health, Magliaccio confessed to his role in the plot, at which point the commission spared his life but forced him to retire as boss of the Profaci family, awarding the position to Joseph Colombo as reward for turning on his boss. The Profaci family was now the Colombo family, and one of Colombo's first acts as boss was to reward the imprisoned Carmen Persico for his loyalty to the family by making him a capo. So after being released from prison, now a capo, Persico spent all his time on the streets with his hands in labor racketeering, extortion, loan sharking, hijacking, illegal gambling, and murder for hire. And by the late 1960s, Persico's crew was one of the most profitable in the Colombo family. Also by this point, Carmen was one of the main enforcers for the family. More than that, however, during his time as a capo, he had a crew that consisted of numerous heavy hitters, including his brother Alphonse Persico, Gennaro Langello, Anthony Abatamarco, Joey Brancato, and an associate named Hugh McIntosh. Despite his success, things were about to get wild again for the Colombo family, and in February 1971, Joey Gallo was released from prison. At the time of his release, Gallo said that the 1963 peace agreement didn't apply to him because he was in prison when it was negotiated. As a supposedly pacifying gesture, Colombo invited Gallo to a peace meeting with an offering of $1,000. Gallo refused the invitation, demanding $100,000 to stop the conflict, which Colombo rejected, instigating the Second Colombo War, at which point the boss issued a new order to kill Gallo. However, on February 28, 1971, Colombo was shot 3 times in the back of the head while preparing to speak at the second rally for his Italian-American Civil Rights League. The shooting didn't kill Colombo, but left him paralyzed for the last 7 years of his life, dying of natural causes on May 22, 1978. But Persico had his own problems to deal with, and on January 27, 1972, he was sent to prison on an 8-year sentence stemming from a federal hijacking conviction in 1968. After the Colombo shooting, his underboss, Joseph Iacovelli, assumed the role of acting boss. Looking for revenge, Albert Gallo sent a gunman from Las Vegas to the Neapolitan Noodle restaurant in Manhattan, where Iacovelli, Alphonse Persico, and Gennaro Langello were dining one day. However, the shooter didn't recognize the mobsters and shot 4 innocent diners instead, killing 2 of them. Then on April 7th, 1972, Joey Gallo was shot and killed by gunmen as he was celebrating his birthday at Umberto's Clam House in Manhattan's Little Italy, effectively ending the Second Colombo War. But by this point, there was a huge power vacuum in the leadership of the Colombo family, and who better to fill it than Carmen Persico? He had grown in stature over the course of the 1960s as a cop and leader of a huge faction in the family and looked like a clear successor to the throne, but of course he was in prison. And although it hasn't been proven, most people believe that Persico pulled the strings from prison while using another mobster named Thomas DiBella as an acting boss. He also promoted his brother Alphonse Persico to consigliere and Anthony Bottomarco to underboss. Then after serving 7 years on loan sharking and hijacking charges, Persico was released from prison in 1979 at the age of 46. He could finally enjoy his position of power, influence, and wealth without worrying about any Gallo brothers causing a fuss. Also, when Persico got out of prison, Thomas DiBella stepped down and handed the seat to Persico, opting instead to serve behind the scenes as a consigliere. While on the streets, he operated the family out of the Diplomat Social Club on the corner of 3rd Avenue and Carroll Street in the Van Brunt District of Brooklyn. But he wouldn't be on the streets for long, and on August 11, 1981, Persico pleaded guilty to a conspiracy charge of attempting to bribe an IRS agent from 1977 to 81 while in federal custody. The evidence even included a recording of Persico offering the agent $250,000 in exchange for getting him an early release from prison, and on November 9, 1981, Persico was sentenced to 5 years in federal prison. Coincidentally, however, Carmen's incarceration coincided with the release of his brother, Alphonse Persico, from 17 years in prison, so he quickly took the chance to appoint his brother as acting boss. But he also had support from his underboss Gennaro Langella and Carmen's older brother Theodore. Langella supervised various labor records for the family, including their stake in the concrete club, and exerted control over various labor unions, including Local 6A, the Cement and Concrete Workers Union. However, Persico was released sometime in 83 or 84, but once again, he wouldn't be out for long, and on October 14, 1984, Persico and the rest of the Colombo family leadership were arrested on multiple racketeering charges as part of the Colombo trial. After the indictment was published, Carmen went into hiding, and on October 26, the FBI began a nationwide manhunt for Persico, naming him the 390th fugitive to be added to their 10 most wanted list. Persico hid in the home of his cousin, a mob associate named Fred DeChristopher, in Hempstead, New York, but unbeknownst to Persico, DeChristopher had been relaying information to the FBI for the previous 2 years after being caught up in a sting operation and had already told the FBI Persico's whereabouts. The FBI concocted the fake manhunt to shield DeChristopher, who would later provide damning testimony against Persico as a key witness for the prosecution, and Persico was arrested on February 15, 1985. Then, just 10 days later, on February 25, 1985, non-New York mob leaders, including Gennaro Langella, followed by Persico, were indicted for narcotics trafficking, loan sharking, gambling, labor racketeering, and extortion against construction companies as part of the Mafia Commission trial. On July 1st, Persico pleaded not guilty with 11 other New York mob leaders after a previous indictment on a second set of racketeering charges as part of the Mafia Commission case. And at the start of the commission case, Persico decided to serve as his own lawyer. He believed that his history of convictions gave him sufficient experience to defend himself. His co-defendants vehemently disagreed with this decision, and the judge warned Persico that he would be waiving incompetent counsel as the ground for an appeal. The only help he received after that was when he received counsel from his lawyers to help guide him when the prosecutors questioned him. And even though he tried to project a friendly image to the jury and urged them to put aside any preconceptions about the Mafia or Cosa Nostra, many believe that Persico inadvertently sabotaged his own defense, acknowledging criminal activities during his cross-examinations of prosecution witnesses. And despite his effort, on June 14, 1986, Persico was convicted of racketeering in the Colombo trial, eventually being sentenced to 39 years in prison, with the family's underboss Gennaro Langella being sentenced to 65 years, and the family acting boss Alphonse Persico receiving 12 years. Then on November 19th, Persico and the other commission trial defendants were convicted on all charges, and on January 13th, 1987, Carmen was sentenced to 100 years in prison to run consecutively with his 39-year sentence from the Colombo trial with no hope for parole, alongside Gennaro Langella, who also received a 100-year sentence. Mafia historian and New York Times organized crime reporter Selwyn Robb later wrote that the Colombo family suffered more long-term damage than any other family as a result of the commission trial. Robb pointed out that Persico was by far the youngest boss in New York and at the peak of his abilities because although he was 53 years old at the time of the commission trial, he had already led the family for 14 years. In contrast, the other New York mob bosses were in their 70s and likely would have let go of their power to mobsters of Persico's generation even if they hadn't been sent to prison, and Robb believed that Persico would have had a long reign ahead of him had the trial not intervened. Even though Carmen knew he would never resume active control of the family, he was determined to ensure that his stake of the family's illicit gains would continue to flow through his relatives. He had already named his brother Alphonse acting boss before his arrest and retained him in that position after his arrest. However, not long afterward, Alphonse skipped bail from a loan sharking arrest, at which point Carmen formed a ruling panel to run the family, which included Colombo mobsters Benny Alloy, Vincent Angelino, and Joseph Tomasello. But by 1988, he dissolved the panel and named Victor Arena, the capo of Alphonse Persico's former crew in Brooklyn, as temporary acting boss. Carmen made it clear that Arena was merely a placeholder until his son got out of prison, but he empowered Arena to induct new members and order murders on his behalf, two privileges rarely granted to an acting boss. However, by 1990, Arena had become dissatisfied with the current leadership scheme and was tired of the constant stream of orders that he received from Persico in prison. More than that, he also grew to resent that he would have to turn the family over to Carmen's son. So using his strong ties to Gambino family boss John Gotti, Arena petitioned the commission to declare him the official boss of the Colombo family, but unwilling to cause more conflict, the commission refused. He also instructed the family's consigliere, Carmen Sessa, to take a poll amongst the capos on whether Arena should replace Persico. Instead, Sessa alerted Persico that Arena was staging an overthrow. So in a rage, Persico ordered a hit on Arena, and on June 21, 1991, when Arena arrived at home in Cedarhurst, Long Island, he found gunmen under Sessa's leadership waiting for him, but Vic managed to escape before the gunmen could strike. And in November 1991, after several months of negotiations, the Persico and Arena factions broke into warfare, and the imprisoned Carmen directed the campaign against Arena. Immediately, the family was split into two factions. The main players in the Persico faction were the family's acting boss, Joseph Tomasello, underboss Gennaro Langella, acting underboss Joseph Russo, and Consul Carmen Sessa, while the heavyweights in the Arena faction included faction underboss Benny Alloy, acting underboss Joseph Scopo, and consigliere Vincenzo Alloy. But with the war in progress, the Arena faction got off to a quick start, and in the month of November 1991 alone, gunmen belonging to Vic Arena attempted to hit Persico loyalists Greg Scarpa Sr., Frank Smyra, Larry Sessa, and Ron Calder. More than that, however, Arena sent his younger brother Michael, as well as his sons Michael and William, into Brooklyn on a murder mission. It's unclear what roles the two brothers played in the murders during the war, but FBI agents are certain that they were responsible for the disappearances of 15 associates and business partners of the Persico faction. However, that's not to say that the Persico faction was standing idly by, and over the course of the war, 12 people, including 3 innocent bystanders, died in the mob war, and 18 associates have never been seen again. For those crimes, more than 80 made men and associates from both sides of the Colombo family were convicted, jailed, or indicted. The war continued until 1992, when Victor Arena was convicted of racketeering, a 1989 murder, and other related charges, crimes for which he received 3 life sentences plus 85 years in federal prison. He was accompanied by 58 Colombo family soldiers and associates, 42 from the Persico faction and 16 from the Arena faction, were sent to prison. So when Rob later wrote that Persico's attempts to keep control of the family from prison nearly destroyed it, and by his estimate, 70 of the family members and associates were convicted as a result of the war. While the Third Colombo War raged, the commission refused to allow any Colombo member to sit on the commission, even considering dissolving the family altogether. Lucchese family underboss Anthony Casso even proposed to merge the family with his own to end the war, while in 2000 plans were proposed to split its manpower and resources to the remaining families. Despite that, they weren't dissolved, and in 2002, with the help of Bonanno family boss Joseph Massino, the other families finally allowed the Colombos to rejoin the commission. However, with the end of the war, Persico had to set up another ruling panel for the family, and since his son, Alphonse, little alley boy Persico, was facing prosecution on new charges, Persico installed a ruling committee, including his brother Teddy Persico, Joseph Baldanza, and Joseph Tomasello. But by 1994, the ruling panel was disbanded when Carmen's cousin, Andrew Russo, was released from prison and promoted to the position of acting boss. Then, things came full circle in 1996 when Russo went to prison and Persico replaced him with his son, little alley boy, who by this point had been released from prison. But in 1999, he was arrested in Fort Lauderdale after being caught in possession of a pistol and shotgun. As a convicted felon, he was barred from carrying guns. So in light of this misfortune, Carmen appointed a Colombo mobster named Joel Cacace acting boss. However, later in 1999, not long after Little Alley Boy's arrest on weapons charges, either he or his father Carmen ordered the murder of a high-ranking Colombo mobster and key figure in the family's third war named William Wild Bill Cutolo. The recently released Alphonse was facing new federal charges as a result of his recent arrest that threatened to send him back to prison, and the Persicos were worried that Cutolo might try and seize control of the family. And on May 26, 1999, Alphonse ordered Cutolo to meet him at a Brooklyn park, but when he arrived, Cutolo was kidnapped by Colombo hitmen Thomas Giuelli, Dino Calabro, and Dino Saraceno, and taken to Saraceno's apartment where he was murdered. Giuelli later buried Cutolo's body in a field in Farmingdale, New York. Despite this, the hits just kept coming for the Persicos, and in October 1999, Little Alley Boy was arrested again in New York on federal racketeering, loan sharking, and bank fraud charges. But he wasn't free and clear, and in 2000, he was convicted on the gun charges and sent to federal prison in Florida for 18 months. On January 21, 2001, Persico finished his weapons sentence and was due for release from prison. However, the same day, he was transported back to New York, where prosecutors indicted him on loan sharking charges and held him without bail. On December 20, 2001, Persico pleaded guilty to federal racketeering, loan sharking, and money laundering charges from 1999 to 2001. As part of the plea, he had to publicly acknowledge his role as acting boss of the Colombo family and was sentenced to another 13 years. years in federal prison, but he wasn't the only one facing legal troubles around this time, and on January 23, 2003, then-acting boss of the Colombo family, Joel Kakache, was indicted on 4 murders, eventually receiving 20 years in prison, which left Carmen needing to find another replacement, and he eventually settled on a Colombo family capo named Thomas Giovelli, who became the new acting boss. Then, on December 28, 2007, in a second trial, Little Alley Boy Persico and a co-defendant were convicted of the murder of Wild Bill Cutolo, and just like his father, Alphonse was sentenced to life in prison, and this conviction marked the beginning of a period of incredible instability for the Colombo family, because in June 2008, acting boss Thomas Giovelli, underboss Sonny Francis, former acting boss Joel Kakache, Captain Dino Calabro, soldier Dino Saracino, and several other members and associates, including Orlino Spato, were indicted on multiple racketeering charges, including loan sharking, extortion, and 3 murders dating back to the Colombo Wars. And following this arrest from 2008 to 2014, the Colombo family wouldn't have a single acting boss that lasted more than 2 years on the street. Ralph DeLeo served from 08 to 09 before being in prison in December 2009. Next up was Teddy Persico, who served as part of a ruling panel that lasted up until he was arrested. Carmen's cousin, Andrew Russo, was acting boss from 2010 to 2011 before being arrested again in 2011. Then Salvatore Cambria ran the family until he stepped down. It wasn't until 2014 that the family would see some semblance of stability again when Andrew Russo was released from prison again and took over as acting boss. Then on March 7th, 2019, Carmen Persico died at Duke University Medical Center in Durham, North Carolina, due to an unknown cause, effectively ending his nearly 50-year-long stranglehold on the Colombo family, most of which he spent in prison. After Persico died, his cousin Andrew Russo became the first official boss of the family, whose last name was in Persico since 1973. But in typical Colombo family fashion, he wouldn't last long, and on September 14th, 2021, Russo and 8 other Colombo mobsters were indicted on extortion charges. Then on April 18th, 2022, Andrew Russo died while awaiting trial at the age of 87, once again throwing the family into turmoil. And even though it's unknown who the current boss of the family is, it's clear that Carmen Persico's greediness and John Gotti-like obsession with maintaining control of his family led to their deterioration. But that's really all I have for you guys today. I hope everybody thoroughly enjoyed today's episode and tunes back in next week for episode 29. If you enjoyed the show and would like to support the podcast, it'd be great if you could follow, like, and share the podcast, as well as the show's Instagram and Twitter pages at The Black Hand Pod. But with that said, I hope everybody has a great rest of their day. This is your host, Bliss Greaves, signing out.